On this episode of Movies Ruined My Life, it's our second conversation on action films set during the holiday season. This week, we're discussing Lethal Weapon. All right, so this is Mitchell. This is Dave.
Hello.
Devin is off camera, but on microphone. I'm Brandon, and this is the second part of our Christmas episode, and it actually is Lethal Weapon this time.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And this episode, Die Hard. No. This movie opens up, and it has the best opening of all time. It opens up with, like, the entire Jingle Bell Rock, along with, you know, obviously the credits roll, opening credits roll, and then you have all the scenic shots of L.A. And then, as soon as the song ends, they play the entire fucking song, and it wraps up. That's the Jingle Bell Rock. And then it just cuts, and immediately a girl just jumps off a building.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's a really, really weird moment, but I always remember them. It's like, oh, yeah, that movie, the Christmas movie where a girl kills herself
was
3
that,
seconds into the
was
film.
Was that Riggs' wife or no?
No.
I actually can't remember. I just remember Riggs' wife.
No, Riggs' wife died in the hospital. She died of,
that's it. At least
cancer, maybe?
Yeah,
a
I
decent
want to say
place
it was a
to die.
Of some sort.
Yeah. This girl is Amanda Huntsacker. Is that how I pronounce it? The
that sounds like a sexy name right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's Huntsacker.
I love her already.
Because the dad was in the war with Murtaugh. So, and then there's a scene in the bank where he goes to see, or whatever the, presumably like a bank or a financial institution or something, some money-related job or, you know, something, a job where you'd have to wear a suit in the 80s. So probably somewhere where there's a lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
so he's a lawyer. Got it. Perfect.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, you find these guys, I don't care how many there are of them, you owe me. And you kill these fucking guys. And Murtaugh's like, well, I know I owe you, but I'm a cop. You know, there's that whole exchange.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie, much in the way that that Die Hard is for me, I watch it every Christmas.
Yeah.
And now you were saying off air, Dave, that this is one of the few series that you find is consistent throughout in terms of its entertainment value.
I wouldn't say like they're all equally as good, but I didn't have an issue with any of them.
Yeah.
Right up to 4. Like, 4 was a little over the top, but, like, everything was at that point in movie making.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy with all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You enjoy the fly lice joke?
Yeah, I like
Chicken
that. I like Jet Li the bad guy.
Jet Li is amazing.
Yeah,
and the, what do you call it, that scene on the highway with the house on the back of the truck. Like, there's some really cool.
Yeah,
a lot of it was
stuff,
over the top,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. And fucking Joe Pesci. Like, he's the man.
Pesci is the man. First Lethal Weapon was made for $15 million, came out in 1987, went on to gross $120.2 million worldwide.
Wow.
It's a good return.
Yeah.
Nice,
I would say
nice investment.
So. Yeah. Almost 10 times, you know. And this film also has had multiple VHS and DVD releases because obviously the director's cut, there's a collector's edition, and then there's also they re-released the entire set, I think.
Like a box set.
Yeah. With, and then they did it with a bunch of special features, which I'm sure at some point in this episode I'm going to accidentally source material from in our conversation.
I got the box set at home. It's the original DVD cases with the clip. They're like cardboard, remember?
Yeah.
Anyone remember that?
Yeah.
They did it for like the first 2 years, and they're like, no.
No.
As soon as you spill a beer on it, then the case is just garbage.
That was the deciding factor.
Yeah, don't spill gravy on it.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah.
So all right.
They didn't make good coasters. So anyway, that's the version I have.
Yeah.
The non-coaster version.
Non-coaster DVD release.
Okay.
Don't spill anything.
Mitchell, this is one. When we were first talking about doing this episode, you had mentioned to me that you had seen Die Hard much more recently, but Lethal Weapon sticks with you much more.
I saw Lethal Weapon probably when I was like 3 or something.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this one, I guess, resonates more with me for whatever reason, which is odd because of the ratings.
Yeah. You think it has something to do with maybe like the unconventional family?
Yeah,
or
I don't know. But yeah, just a couple. There's a handful more to me memorable scenes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely on par with Die Hard. So
yeah, yeah. See, I'm the opposite. I feel as though Die Hard is the one that resonates more with me, which is so weird because I think the last time you were here, Dave, we were talking about what relates with me with T2, and it is the surrogate paternal relationship in that film. So it's so interesting that there is this family element in Lethal Weapon, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I love that, you know, Riggs, you know, I don't love that Riggs has lost his wife, but, you know, that he finds, you know, solace in, you know, the Murtaugh family, if you will, and their horny daughter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one scene where he's in the tub, right? And she's...
the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, or Murtaugh's in the tub.
The 80s.
Yeah, right before
the daughter,
he shaves. Before he shaves.
The daughter comes in. She's
hugs
like, there's like candles lit.
Everyone's...
She's hugging him or something. Like,
no, but I mean about the when Murtaugh first shows up they keep her, you know, Martin, would you like a tart?
Yeah.
Mr. Riggs,
would you like to have a bath with my daughter? Yes. Yes, I would.
It's just so off kilter for an 80s.
Yeah. Now, this movie came out in 87. And one thing that I find really weird, there's a conversation when they're on the boat in Murtaugh's driveway.
Yeah.
Where the daughter comes out and she asks, can I go out with some asshole that has dimples? And the dad goes, no, you're grounded. Like, no.
Yeah.
And Murtaugh goes on to explain to Riggs that, you know, she's caught smoking weed in the house. And then there's this whole exchange where, you know, well, I should have just had a beer because, you know, I can have a beer and that's legal, but you can't have weed and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they basically, in that movie, Shane Black decides to just inject a little of his own thought process into it because basically Murtaugh and what's the daughter's name? I can't believe I can't think of it. Rhianne. Yeah, Rhianne. They both agree that weed should be legal.
Did you say Dixie?
Yeah.
Sorry. Can we go back and...
Yeah, Dixie Murtaugh.
Yeah,
Dixie.
That's
that's his other daughter.
Yeah, there was another bath scene as well.
That was born in 1952.
There is a Dixie. I can't find... Sorry, I'm on the
H cap.
Well, what's the hooker's name?
Oh, probably Dixie.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Now this is all coming together.
Dixie is a prostitute who was friends with the Amanda, the girl who commits suicide.
He's not
completely off base with his Dixie.
He's not.
Okay.
With his Dixie comment.
As long as it's a hooker, she can be named Dixie.
Or a cocktail waitress.
Yeah, true.
Dixie
at a strip club.
Or a Southern Belle.
Yeah.
You got your minds in the gutter.
Yeah.
Where else would they be? There's for a movie that opens up with Jingle Bell Rock again and has like an underlying theme of Christmas with the Christmas trees and the, you know, everything's done up. And obviously the last scene when Murtaugh goes into or welcomes Martin into the family kind of thing, you know, symbolically and brings the dog in and the cat and the dog are already fighting. He comes out and just kind of twists a Christmas light so that it comes on, but in a movie with all of this underlying like wholesome family and you know Christmas undertone to it, there's a lot of tits.
Yeah,
there's
good
Christmas for everyone.
Stick women with tits, Dave. We're
Merry Christmas
from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Where are we here?
I can't stop thinking about 80s boobs now.
Yeah. He's a Susanna Summers fan, or I don't know.
Yeah, that's Magnum Force, right?
Yeah.
Or is it the first one?
I don't know.
It's
what?
Yeah.
In
any case, it's one of Dirty Harry films where Susanna Summers gets shot. And it can't be Magnum Force. It's the first one. It's Dirty Harry.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But there is a cool tie-in between the Dirty Harry series. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah,
the general is the cop from Magnum Force. He's the cop that has that great line that fucking James always quotes, you know, you know, a hood can kill a cop, but a, you know, if a cop kills a hood, you know, that exchange.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
that cop that yeah. they think is the bad guy the whole film, but he's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah I,
and then he ends up dead.
Yeah. That's, ironic.
Yeah. yeah. So in this movie, he is in fact bad. You know, maybe they saw Lethal Weapon somehow.
Yeah.
on Blu-ray.
Box set. VHS.
Where are we?
Yeah. This
we're at the saxophone solo, right?
Oh, yeah. The Kenny G's yes. little licks or Eric Clapton's
Clapton's
licks?
Guitar licks. Solo, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, it's like they forgot to get a soundtrack, so they just got Clapton. They stopped doing lines for a minute and plug your guitar in. We forgot a soundtrack. Just play.
Fuck, where are we?
I don't know. Where do you want to be?
I was going to go somewhere with...
I like how the first scene where they introduce Riggs to Murtaugh, and Murtaugh's just shaved his beard, and everyone's giving him shit that he looks even older. And then Murtaugh sees this fucking crazy looking guy with the, you know, a mullet and a baseball cap on, and he's all ratty and shit. And he sees him pull out a gun, and he's like, "Gun!" And he tries to tackle him, and Riggs throws
flips him. Yeah,
yeah, and puts like the gun in his face.
What was he like?
Yeah, he's special Rig, ops.
Special
yeah.
ops, and he was back from the war. And
yeah, it's also interesting.
Was he also like jiu-jitsu or something?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. This is the first movie that I can remember seeing jiu-jitsu in, because he goes... well, like, there's a couple things at the end. There's the, like, he's constantly trying to get wrist control. He's trying to,
does he put him in, like, an arm bar or something?
He goes for an arm bar, and he goes for a triangle as well.
Yeah.
Which, why the fuck would you go for an arm bar in a soaking wet lawn? Like, when you're just trying to kill a guy. You're straight up trying to kill a guy, and it's like, I know what to do. I'll hyperextend his arm.
Ugh.
Which
that would hurt. That would suck, though. I'd rather be dead.
Yeah, but if you're, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like the ideal situation for that, because he sinks like into a puddle, and then Busey gets on top of him and just starts wailing on him.
When you're crazy, Busey, we just gotta add. Yeah, whatever happened. I don't know what happened to that guy, but he was always a little fucking weird.
Yeah,
but now I don't know.
When I think of Busey, I always think of the Buddy Holly biopic. You know, which, he's amazing. And he was nominated for an Academy Award in that, was he not?
Wow.
Yeah. And like, he sings all of the songs and
he's got
literally does all the performances.
Pretty good voice.
He does. Suitable for that.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing performance. And, you know, I also obviously think of Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah.
Point Break.
Point Break. Fuck.
Point Break.
Wow.
They're doing
a fucking
that's
new
silly.
Movie.
Busey was actually the year after this was in a motorcycle accident that has been pointed to as you know why he kind of
I remember he got on all those weird painkillers and he had a minor form of brain damage. So, that's a good excuse, at least, the motorcycle accident, because he got really fucked up. But I think that would definitely do it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of cases of that in Hollywood, like, obviously, notably, Montgomery Clift, after his, didn't he wrap his car around a tree or something like that? And you know, basically, like, I remember seeing the Misfits as a kid and being like, this isn't the same guy.
Mm.
But, yeah. There's
definitely some life-altering events.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm a big Monty Clift fan. I know we're going off, but I'll use any excuse to inject him into the conversation. Yeah, Brando Clift. Let's do it. Let's just drag out all the heroes of that era. And Busey's so good in this. The scene where they have the where they do the arm over the lighter.
Yeah, yeah.
And that whole exchange with that drug dealer, and like, you know, you'd like to do business with us. Do you not? You know,
it's like they're such a legit
company. What does he say? Like, you guys are loopy or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Loopy.
No, I don't think it's loopy, but it's something equally as 80s.
Something so 80s.
Yeah, you guys are loco or something. Because the guy is also supposed to be playing Hispanic, but he's...
Oh, yeah. It's got to be loco, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not...
Not Hispanic. To stereotype, by all means.
No,
but
the fact that they have
a
white guy playing Hispanic, like his name is like Rodriguez or
something
in the film.
Something that's just so you know, he's...
Or Martinez. Something like that. Yeah, so let's talk about Dixie.
Yes. Finally.
There we are.
So,
love her.
I love when they connect the dots after the shootout at the pool, and Murtaugh's had like the worst day that he's had as a police officer.
Yeah, that's yeah, there's
Riggs shows up at the house.
Yeah, the pool is like funny incident.
Yeah.
No killing.
2 seconds later, blast. You see, I shot him in the leg. He's alive, so we can question him. Bang, bang, bang.
Blasts him into the pool. Yeah, that's definitely a good scene.
And they both jump into the pool because, like, Riggs is totally like, oh, fuck, this guy's going to kill me now.
Yeah.
You know, like, Murtaugh's going to be so pissed. And so Murtaugh's pissed. Like, I need a witness. But, and then I love that Riggs is just watching football in the guy's house that he just killed.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But yeah, when they connect the dots on Dixie, which sounds wrong. But that she was probably in the hotel room with Amanda Hunsucker.
Yeah.
And so they go to question Dixie about it. And the fucking house blows up, and all those kids just get up on the car, and they're like, whoa, do it again. And Murtaugh's just trying to get a smoke out, and he's like, I don't want to deal with this.
You know? How many houses have blown up in that series? There's been a lot.
Oh, like 50 houses.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, we forgot to blow a fucking house up. Do you have any money left in the budget? Blow the fucking house up.
Just completely out of context.
Or drive a car through the fucking wall.
Is there also a single movie where Murtaugh's house doesn't get fucked up?
Well, yeah, that's exactly.
It's always like just perpetually
well,
under
Riggs
renovation.
Lives in his truck or something
lives
like that.
Lives in his trailer. Yeah, so. Down by the beach.
Oh, I think they blow his trailer up. At
yeah,
some
and
point.
Yeah. Diplomatic Immunity yeah, blows yeah. his fucking trailer up.
So yeah, you know they're not
they
meant to
him
have
eventually.
Shelter. That's,
yeah,
that's it. Oh yeah, was it? Which is the one where the truck he ties it on and pulls the house down, the mansion, like the big. What movie was that? Number one or two?
I don't know.
Where he ties the truck off to the structure of the house?
Yes.
Is flooring it? Was that one or two?
That's two, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, sorry.
So we can't talk about it.
So that definitely okay. was, but it was destruction of a house, though.
Yeah.
Lots of
houses are destroyed in the greater L.A. area as a result.
And that was like Troy McClure's house from The Simpsons. You remember that?
Yes, yeah.
It was definitely one of those houses.
Oh, fuck.
Model home.
Sorry to take us all over the map.
No, that's all right.
Dude, so far I've brought up like Monty Clift. The Buddy Holly document or Buddy Holly biopic.
I've tried to keep this a little.
Yeah,
bit
and
on.
Cocktail Waitresses. So
yeah, I forget.
You
a lot
don't
of
have
this.
To apologize me to me for anything.
Okay, I forget a lot of the first. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I'm
yeah.
If I talk, about
yeah, I did kind of spring this on you, so I do appreciate you guys doing this despite being ill prepared for the episode. I really do.
All right, we'll go. What did? Yeah, there's a handful of great scenes in this movie.
Yeah,
right? There's a rooftop.
Dave, do you remember
rooftop scene?
Are you fresh enough to go with a round of favorite scenes?
Absolutely. Yeah. I just get a couple of the movies mixed up is all, but I definitely have a favorite scene for the first one. So
okay,
we're good with that.
All right, you want to start with you? Let's go weird. Let's go in a weird order. Usually go like clockwise or counterclockwise, but let's do it. Let's go with Dave.
Okay, I like. Near the beginning of the movie where that guy wants to jump off the building and then Riggs he just handcuffs himself to him and he's like fuck it
we're going together
let's go and because then they land in the fire department's giant
you
pillow
fucking, this guy's
or whatever
crazy.
Yeah because he's like he knows the guy's full of shit he's like you're not gonna do it I'll fucking jump you know what I mean and then he just handcuffs himself to him and I just like that's how you know that Riggs didn't really give a shit because if he missed he wouldn't even care he was still grieving
and yeah because he was doing the thing in his trailer before that with the bullet
the Russian roulette thing
he had the picture of his wife it was
a
very sobering moment
I like that because it brings a little bit of humor into it and then
there's a handful like there's one scene where they're he's talking about Christmas trees but they're actually it's a drug deal and
that's my favorite scene
he gets the fucking crazy eyes
and
shoot me do
and
it
he just puts the gun right up to his head that's so good
that's
and
good
even
scene.
The exchange before that when he's like he takes his wallet the guy tells him like 15 or whatever
he's
and
like $15
he takes it out and counts it off like you know 15 bucks on the hood of the car and he's like why don't you just give it to me for free
yeah
brings out the gun so good and then kills all of them of course because nothing says like you know Christmas more like Christmas trees covered in blood
Yeah, there's definitely
bodies. Yeah,
yeah, great, yeah. Great scene, amazing scene, and also that's the first time that you get to see how fucking loco
he is.
How
yeah.
fucking crazy. But
there is the scene with after he jumps off the building. Yeah. Right, he goes into that like I don't even know. It's an abandoned like convenience store with Murdoch.
Murtaugh,
sorry. Yeah. And they have this heart to heart conversation.
Yeah, like are you really,
really don't you really don't fucking care. Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because the psychologist is played off as just this fucking nutcase through the first movie when really she's absolutely right, and he confides as much to Murtaugh. He says, "Yeah, I'm suicidal, absolutely." And she tells him that on the phone, Murtaugh that on the phone, and he's fucking frightened for you know the rest of the day. That's after the suicide or the jumper
yeah.
scene. Yeah, it's good movie. Good movie.
I know. I can't even. Yeah, there's good movie.
I like it. I like it a lot.
My favorite is the torture scene. I thought creative. Yes. Like
the sponge and the electrical kit. Yeah,
just such like a complicated. Like they're like dousing him with water and then hitting him with an electrified sponge.
He eventually like puts a triangle on him while he's being hung up with his feet.
Yeah.
Kicks the other guy in the face or something to that effect.
Yeah, doesn't he electrocute one of them by like kicking the other one of them into the other one or something like that?
Definitely.
Or he like gets them wet somehow or something.
He eventually I think enters the room after that where Rianne. Yeah, they got her tied up or whatever.
Yeah.
He's no shirt again. Like
yeah, no shirt in all of his fight sequences. Yeah. They always like to get Mel's shirt off.
Barefooted, no like,
no shirt. Yeah.
No shirt. Yeah.
Got to sexy him up as much as possible. Got to bring the ladies into the theater.
Yeah.
Okay, seeing as you took the Christmas tree scene, I'm going to go with...
No.
Favorite scene.
No, I already said that it is. I'm going to go with my second favorite, though, which is when after they kidnap Rianne. And the whole plan comes together that they're, you know, the heart to heart, like we're gonna kill these guys, and they go out to the dry lake is where they go, right? And so you just see this fucking station wagon driving down the road, and then Riggs jumps out and just starts fucking booking through the desert,
right.
And he's running like faster than the fucking station wagon can go.
Wants to get a good like sniping vantage point.
And he looks like in that very moment, that's the first one that you're like, holy fuck, this guy is a soldier. This guy's gonna kill some fucking people.
Yeah.
I love that moment and then how that whole scene plays out with the grenade.
Glover's got the grenade.
Yeah, and he's like, she's gonna gonna die, she's gonna die my way. You know.
Great scene.
Yeah, amazing, amazing scene. And that's also when they figure out that Riggs is alive. And then, of course, the general puts the gun to his head and brings him over. And, you know, that's when you get that shadow, the shadow company line. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I met some of your shadow company pussies or whatever over in Saigon.
Busey's wearing sunglasses, aviators or something.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Put the pin back in the grenade. Put the pin back.
And then they figure out it's a smoke grenade. And, yeah, amazing scene. One of my favorites, you know.
I wish I chose that scene. Now I chose the stupid jumping scene. That scene
sucks. The jumping scene's very good.
Stupid. What am I fucking new? Well, that was a great scene, Brandon. Fuck.
Also, one of my favorite scenes was they were at the shooting range.
Yes, with the smiley. And,
was it the same from Die Hard beside the playground? was it that one?
Yes, this was playground antics, but so. You know, not bad for an old man, right?
Yeah.
And he shoots one bullet right through the middle from about 10 feet. And then Riggs steps up and he's like, presses on the button. And
for so long, he's humming the whole time.
He's, he's like singing like, you know, some sort of elevator music to himself while he's doing this. And then he makes
seven shots.
Yeah, he does it pretty much blindly. Yeah.
And then he does it again and brings it all the way back. Yeah. And the whole time you're watching him.
But the best part of the scene is have a nice day.
And walks away. Just like a mic drop right there.
Yeah. Have a nice day.
So good. Yeah, it's amazing.
So there's definitely a lot of, Even the...
And the Busey fight scene at the end.
Busey fight scene. That is very... I don't know what, how to explain it. Like, when you're a kid watching that movie, you're like, kick his ass, sea bass. You know, but like, as you know, say you watch it when you're 25 or yeah. whatnot, you're like, rip his fucking tear duct out, you racist fuck. Like, you're like...
Yeah, you start cheering for Busey.
Yeah.
Well, no, Riggs is great. Riggs is not Mel Gibson. Yeah. Whatever you think of Mel Gibson, you know, Riggs...
There's nothing wrong
Riggs
with Mel Gibson back yeah, then. Yeah, yeah. He went a little fucking weird later in life.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, but I don't think there's anything
no,
wrong
but
with
it's that's the idea behind it. Like, you can watch it through, like, a span of time, and then later on, and you have this different view on it.
Yeah.
Almost.
The other thing I wanted to bring up about that scene, I love how, can you imagine the conversation between Riggs and Murtaugh when they're planning out, you know, okay, so I'm going to leave a note on the tree that says, like, you know, hey, bad guys, you know, no one's here but us cops, signed the good guys. And then when I see him holding it, I'm going to drive a fucking car through the front of your house. And Murtaugh's like, whoa, wait a second.
Wait, whose house?
Couldn't we just, like, knock on the window and hold the gun up?
Yeah. Can't we take him out the old-fashioned way? No. We got a budget to blow up a fucking house or knock a wall down, so.
We've got to crash a car through the front of your house. Don't worry, the police department.
Whose car is it? Oh, that's also your car. Shit.
No, it's a cruiser. It's the cruiser they steal.
No, I know, but it'd just be funnier if it's like anything that Murtaugh owns gets destroyed.
And we have to tie the boat to the back of it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget that boat.
So, yeah, then, you know, just imagine the conversation. And then so they bring him out, and then they destroy the whole Christmas decoration. So, like, Trish is fucking pissed, too. Murtaugh and his fucking new partner has destroyed the whole front of her house, you know, and they've destroyed the Christmas display. No, and fucked up the car. No problem. Just next day, Christmas dinner. Perfect.
It's a little drafty in here, don't you think?
The most you see her get pissed is about him not taking out the garbage. It's not like, you know, thanks for driving a fucking hole through the front of my house. Yeah. Oh, man. Great scene.
Great movie, actually.
Yeah, it's such a good movie. Do you want to take a quick break and then we'll round it out, talk about... I wouldn't mind doing a quick run through of the whole series, if you don't mind, just talk about some of our memorable moments and wrap it up that way. So, let's take a moment. We'll come right back. Hey, everyone. So this is our last episode for 2015. We just wanted to say thank you for listening and subscribing, and we want to wish everyone a happy new year, and we'll talk to you in 2016.
Yeah, let's kill this.
All right, so we're back, and we're just going to wrap up with our favorite moments of the series. Yeah, the whole series. Let's pick our favorite moment, the whole series, and then we'll close it out. These episodes have been really positive, which as much as we've been swearing and stuff, I really do appreciate, guys, because I was a little worried that we would just spend the whole episode complaining. But
the mullets.
I guess we gotta tone down the language a bit.
Who cares? Yeah. It's the internet.
Yeah.
Because it's like an 80s movie. You can show your tits, you can swear, do whatever you want to do. It's the internet.
All right, so who wants to kick us off? Favorite scene in the entire Lethal Weapon franchise? On one scene.
Lethal Weapon trailer?
It's got to be.
It's daunting.
Can I go first? Because I don't even have to think about this.
Okay, do it.
Lethal Weapon 4 intro scene.
Oh, like, the flamethrower guy.
Why does it?
Yes.
I constantly, and this is awful. Like, I don't think this way. But I always think whenever there's some, you know, some mass shooter or something like that, it's always like, thank God they weren't smart enough to do what this guy did. Yeah. Like, why does it, like, you can make a suit of metal and you can use a flamethrower.
Yeah.
Why does it, everybody who like, flips their lid.
I fucking love that scene.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
He's just invincible. He's just...
And then it makes Murtaugh get naked or whatever.
Yeah. And again, flap your arms like a chicken.
Yes. Yeah, great.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, that was the first time I think Mel Gibson got a haircut, too.
Yeah, he's got the short hair in that one.
He's showing off the luscious hair without the mullet there on the back. Mm. Good times.
Yeah, I feathered on the top.
Good job. Yeah. Good choice.
Good choice. All right, I guess you want me to go next?
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite scene is in one. And it doesn't, it's not fair because we kind of already touched on it, but it is the tree scene. It's totally that. I think that that's the staple of the entire series for me because it's just what every other cop is going to do. You know, they're gonna do it by the book, and Riggs is willing to go that extra mile, and put himself in. And I don't think, like the ending of that series or that movie tells Murtaugh, like, just between you and I, I'm not crazy, and that's it. He is just psychologically out matching all of these shitty criminals, like in all seriousness. That's all he's doing. And no one else is able to read this but Murtaugh, who, it's a great scene. I love that there's humor in it. But it doesn't take you out of the scene. I love that there's obviously people getting shot. That's a proponent. I'm a big proponent of people dying in film, I guess. I don't know. And I love that the way that they opened up that character. You know, there was another deleted scene where it was just like him chilling in a bar and then he beats up two fucking thugs that want to steal his wallet. See, that's the DVD that I just referenced. But it's the right choice. It's totally the right choice that and I love that scene. It's the best scene in the entire series for me. It's just this that Christmas tree lot drug deal. It's amazing.
Good choice.
Yeah, where do I start with it? I really like the Have a Nice Day one for its simplicity.
Yeah,
it's so simple.
The gun range, yeah.
And it is a non-action film scene, but still.
Yeah.
No.
Again, it just cements Riggs as just this absolute badass, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a moment of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a good word for it, but. Like, no care in the world, just, yeah. But, yeah.
Sweet. Dave?
So I don't know. It's so hard to pick a favorite scene.
Yeah.
Because there's so much. Like, I love the scene where
and
the truck pulls that house down.
Yes.
Okay? But that's not really a favorite. It's just cool. I think the look, my favorite scene is probably the look on Jet Li's face when Mel Gibson tells Buddy that it's counterfeit money.
Yeah.
And you just see the look like you just fucked yourself because Jet Li's just going to rip your balls right off.
Yeah.
You know that the eye contact he makes when he tells him?
Mm.
It's unbelievable. Just that one shot of Jet Li's face is probably...
Yeah.
Because he just throws up in his mouth a little bit, but he's just going to fucking kill everybody. And then that leads to that ultimate shootout. And then the fight
sequence, which is amazing.
Where they're looking at him.
It saves that whole movie for anyone who doesn't like it.
Yeah, they're like, how did he rip that gun in half? Like, well, let's go ask him. And then you just see him in the rain. I don't know. That whole, I kind of like the fourth movie when I think about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Fuck it.
It's fun.
Great.
And the way that they do Riggs going back to his wife's grave and saying,
And then he's got the he's got a baby. He has a baby.
Yeah, and getting her, getting her permission essentially to marry,
what's your fucking name? Russo.
Rene Russo?
Russo.
Yeah. Sorry, I had it. In any case, I love that because it's like and I love that Rene Russo is, in the film is so cool with all of that. You know, she understands all of that. And, I love that moment. It's just, it ties the whole series in from the first time you see Riggs all the way up to today. It's like he's still,
they didn't draw
very much
it out
the man
either,
he was when you met him.
Did anyone else have a very hard time staying on side with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover in the fourth movie? I mean, I did just want to point out that I think that was one thing that I didn't quite. Well, I actually I don't see it as a major fault of the movie, but like I feel for Jet Li. I don't feel for Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. I think they're
well. Jet Li kind of kills a guy.
Yeah, but they're just like kind of dicks family through man. The whole thing. They're like the races.
Yeah, they're fly lice with Uncle Benny. And
just
yeah.
torturing Benny. And Jet Li,
yeah. they're getting a little stray from what they have to
Instead
do.
Of going through the door, he just smashes the window.
Almost everyone on Jet Li's size has like the most, like...
Yeah, but they're
trying to get his brother out of prison.
And they're selling people, are they not? They're not trafficking humans.
They're trafficking humans, but the whole reason they're doing that is to get the one that can make this counterfeit plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in any case, great films, great series. I completely agree with you, Dave, that it's a series that you can watch front to back and there's no bullshit. Like, you know, with a lot of these series...
There's always one or two that are just not worth watching.
In whenever you see filler. Like an action series, you always just worry when it's going to go off the tracks.
Yeah, you don't want to pull like a Predator 2.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Thanks. Another Danny Glover.
Fucking Danny Glover.
Yeah.
They both have eyes. Man.
I don't mind
Glover
that movie.
And Gibson. They just have these incredible eyes in these movies. Like.
Yeah, they got some crazy eyes. Yeah, for sure.
Fucking Jet Li's eyes, buddy.
Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
I'm good.
Merry Christmas.
I like that.
Again.
Yes. All right. Merry Christmas, and remember that this is just the beginning of the conversation. We want to continue it on with you, so please go to our website, yell at us, reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at NotBrandonFleet. Devin, you want to offer up your Twitter?
At YR_homeboy.
Right on. And... Mitchell, I know we already talked about this in the last episode. You can be reached at the Sleep for the Nightlife Twitter, so at Sleep for the Nightlife.
Call me personally.
Yeah, or you can send him a fax. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't have that.
Yeah, but your Instagram is
Instagram.
Thack Attack. Excellent.
Yeah, spelled exactly like it sounds.
Yep. All right. Well, again, thank you for listening. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all of that stuff, and we hope that we'll see you again soon. Now, if you're watching us on YouTube, please remember that you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud. Subscribe to us there and take us with you wherever you go. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you. And you can find us on YouTube. We always release new content, little teasers and whatnot for upcoming episodes. And also... You can find full episodes in audio format, so please subscribe to us there to keep up to date on what we're doing. I think that's about it. So thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to do. I don't know. I'm not a technology guy. I don't really know how to do shit. Without virusing my computer and spilling gravy all over the place. I actually named my dog Sergeant Riggs. You remember him?
Yeah, Riggs
Boston
was awesome.
Terrier.
Yeah, you met him too, didn't you?
Yeah,
good little dog. Whatever happened to him? Oh, I gave him to a farm. Here you go, farm.
Yeah, no, that was about good life.
Yeah.
You're saying it was a doctor?
Oh, yeah.
Or something?
No, he's a veterinarian. With fucking 8 dogs and like 6 horses. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, perfect. I'm going to cry. Miss that little shithead.
Yeah, I remember when he ate your glasses.
Oh, my Dolce's fucking $600 glasses. A fucking piece of shit, dog. Fuck him.
Fuck him and his ritzy new life.